Everybody, how are y'all doing so far? Hopefully we can get everybody up this morning with the word today. Before I start that, I do want to kind of go a little bit more into who I am. So like you said, my name is Keon Atkins. I recently graduated Arkansas State University with a bachelor's in psychology. And so I came here to Little Rock recently, moved here a week ago to work with Adam in the BCM. So I'm starting my ministry journey. I was an intern with Central Baptist in Jonesboro with their student ministry, so I've got some experience with them as well as our college ministry, so 747. I went to Central Baptist under the leadership of Archie Mason. It was a great church, had a great time those past 4 years, and so here I am today. It was a very scary thing listening to the call to ministry and letting God work through me with that. I'm 22 years old, I'm very young, and the call to ministry is one of those things where you look at it and you say, do you really want me to stand in front of people and preach, and you really want me to go out and share the gospel daily? Like, yes, that is our calling as Christians, but at the same time, you know, when you think about this as a career, that's not exactly what you think of when you go to college for 4 years, and you think about grad school and, you know, all these things, and I was thinking, I'm going to law school, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to make this amount of money, I'm going to be, you know, great and have fun with it. And the Lord said, no. Very quickly, he said, nope, you're going into ministry, I want you to share the gospel with college students, I want you to hang with college students. And that's great because I get to see their lives transformed and I get to see them experience something different and save them from the sins that they have. And so here I am today being able to share this word, and I'm very thankful for Adam and the church leadership for bringing me in. I got a call Friday and everybody was like, hey, can you preach? And I'm like, sure, absolutely. I'm just laying there. I'm like, absolutely. I can be there. I'll come preach. Funny thing is I decided, let's do David and Goliath. That'll be a great one. We can definitely see some things that David did, that showed his boldness and his character. And I was talking to Caleb and he was like, you know, our Sunday school lesson was over David and Goliath. And I was like, crazy. God was like, let me just put these pieces together and it's going to be a lot easier for you to get up there and give a sermon. So I'm very excited to be talking about David and Goliath and just talking about how the Lord can use you no matter your circumstances, no matter what skill sets you have. If you will please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll be reading through verses 33 through 47. And so throughout this sermon, we're going to have three different points. Three of those points that I wanted to really highlight because the passage really talks about, you know, David's boldness and his willingness to serve and go out and fight, even though he was, you know, young and he wasn't the first pick at that. And so I really wanted to make sure we highlight that and talk about that because we as Christians sometimes feel like we don't have the skills or the tools necessary to go out and fulfill what the Lord has called us to do. And so we'll be walking through that, and so if you guys are ready, we can go ahead and start reading that passage. So verse 33 starts out and says, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with a shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistine this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for today. God, thank you for allowing us to come together as a body of Christ, God, and allowing us to dive into your word. God, I pray that you allow us to take something from this, God, and I pray that you allow this to be something that we apply into our daily lives as we go out in our communities. God, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, God, and allow me to deliver this message for the benefit of you. In your name I pray, amen. So as we see in the chapter beforehand, just a little background of this text, we see that David's father is sending him out to go give his brothers food and water. He doesn't say, go fight. He doesn't say, hey, I want you to go take out Goliath. It's one of those things where he's like, I just want you to do this one simple task. And David's like, why? Like, can I go fight? I want to go help. But we see once again that everybody's talking about David's youth. David's so young. David can't hold a sword. He can't do this. He can't do that. And we think about in our lives, how many times have people said, like, well, you can't do that because you have this, or you can't do that because you do this. There's so many times that we think about why we can't do something that we sometimes think it ourselves that, you know, you're right, I can't do this. I'm not well-equipped enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. But that's the enemy. So we think about how the devil uses anything in our past to say, like, oh, we can't do this or we can't do that. And we see that once again with David, where everybody's looking at him and saying, this scrawny kid can't do anything for us. He's not going to benefit us. We're not going to win this fight if David goes out there. And David's thinking in his head, like, bro, I can do this. I can help you. And so our first point that we see is, the Lord uses anyone. And we see that in verse 33, which I can reread. And it says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. So Saul is basically saying, Goliath is like well-trained. He's going to beat you up as soon as you walk out there. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. And David's like, the Lord's going to use me. I have faith in that. He's going to carry me to the victory. But at the same time, Saul's like, nope. His dad's like, nope. His brothers, as you see in the chapter before, they look at David coming out there and they're like, okay, thanks for the food and water. Bye. And David's like, no, I want to come fight. And time again, we see different things in our lives that stop us from realizing our true potential or realizing the call that God has for our lives. Because the Lord is going to use us regardless of what we have or regardless of the people we talk to. He's using you in your jobs. He's using you in your schools. He's using you even in this church to go share the gospel and to go be with people that are lost and broken. The Lord uses whoever he sees fit. And we see that in the Bible time and time again because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. He can use whoever he wants. He chooses to use the unlikely people because they have a great impact. So the more that we don't listen to God and the more that we don't listen to the calling that he has on our lives, the more that we constantly let doubt and fear bog us down and slow us down from the potential that we have and the impact we can have for the kingdom. If a lot of us chose to stay in our safety bubbles and our safety nets, where would we be today? If I had chosen to stay in my safety bubble and go to law school or go to grad school, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be able to share the gospel with people and impact their lives and help them realize the goodness and the glory that the Lord has for them to save them from their sins. It's not about me. I'm not saving them. It's the Lord saving them. But the Lord is using me and my story to go out and say, hey, you struggle with this. That's okay. There's somebody that loves you in heaven who's going to save you and who's going to take care of you. But it takes us to be able to be the hands and feet of the gospel. So, as we move forward, I want to give a little example of how unlikely it is for me to be here. I know I keep harping on, like, oh, I shouldn't be here, but I'm letting you guys realize the goodness that the Lord has in my life and what he's done for my life. So, when I was in junior high, I was the water boy of the football team. I was running water out there as quickly as possible. I was like, here you go, trying to go back and refill it. It was a great time in my life. That's full sarcasm. Please just realize I did not enjoy it. But I did it because I didn't play football, obviously. I played basketball a little bit. Baseball was more of what I wanted to do. But I was also thinking in terms of I just want to go to football games for free and chill out. So I was like, I'll be the water boy up until I graduate high school. Newsflash, I quit being the water boy in like ninth grade. So I was like, not for me. I gotta elevate. I gotta move up a little more. But when I was the water boy, obviously nobody looks at you and says like, oh, you're the greatest person on the team. You're the greatest asset. They're like, bro, just give me my water and get out of my face. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was like, there you go. I'm just gonna leave and move around. But here I am today giving a sermon about David and Goliath. Small little water boy, probably about yay big, to now yay big, very tall, giving a sermon. That's an example of what the Lord does in our lives when we listen. I didn't get saved until I was in college, my freshman year. But at the same time, the Lord saw that and said, you have a gift, you have something that I want, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to elevate that and push you out into the world. I promise you, had you said freshman year, I want you to go to this church close to Little Rock and give a sermon and you've never been there, I'd have been like, yeah, bro, mm-mm. I could never do that for you. I'm sorry. I love you. You're great. I'm not doing that, though. But here I am. That takes obedience. That takes confidence. That takes trust. And that Bible that we always read, it tells us the ways to have that confidence and to have that obedience and to listen. Not always will we be able to say like, oh, I can hear the Lord's voice this distinctly. But the more you read the Bible and the more that you are in prayer, the more the discernment allows you to be able to see that and to know what's happening in your life. So as we continue to move forward with David, we see David has all these things stacked against him. But at the same time, David says, doesn't matter. Here I go. I'm going to go serve the Lord. I'm going to go fight this battle. So our second point, we see David had faith in the Lord. David had faith in the Lord. And we see that in verse 37. Oh, wow. Of course, I closed my Bible. Verse 37, it says, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Right there in verse 37, we see David already having the confidence in the Lord, saying that he's going to deliver me from this. Why won't you just trust me? Because the world every day constantly looks at you and says, you don't have it. You can't do it. But David is saying, I have the Lord on my back. I have the God of the universe who makes the stars appear in the night, who makes the world spin around. He has my back. And so everybody's looking at David and they're like, and what about that? What about the Lord being there for you? David didn't care. Everybody has this fear, right? I'm afraid of snakes and spiders. Okay, any reptile at this rate, I'm terrified of them. But anytime I see a snake, I'm like, snake, other way, or I'm just like freezing, right? So when you do something you're afraid of, you're freezing. You're not doing it. You're stopping. David said, fear, never heard of it. He listened to the Lord's voice. That's exactly what we need to do. Fear is small compared to the Lord. And the more that we let our fear take over us and conquer what we have in front of us and the story that we have to tell, that's basically saying God is not big enough to handle that. Or that's saying that the Lord won't deliver. Let's reflect a little bit. Name a time that the Lord hadn't provided for you, or you prayed about something and the Lord didn't answer that prayer. Anybody got a time that didn't happen? Exactly. As much as we think, oh, the Lord's not there for me, he's not going to do this for me, he's working through everything. Whether it's a failure or a victory, the Lord is going to have glory from that because that is exactly how he writes these stories. We may feel like we've lost in life, or we can't pay this bill, or I can't send my kids to this, or I can't do this because whatever. Once again, the Lord uses those stories. The Lord uses everything that you've experienced to better glorify him. It's not about us. It's not about our victories or our name getting the good light. is about the Lord. And the more we think about what am I going to do to benefit the Lord, the more we can realize we're just here for the Lord. We're just here to share the gospel for the Lord. It's not because I share the gospel and I save them. I tell you now, I could not save somebody if I wanted to. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I shared the gospel, but I can't just save you. I can't say, oh, you're going to heaven now. The Lord has to do that. The Lord has to work in their life. But if I'm too afraid, how do I further the Lord's kingdom? And how do I further what he has for them? It's all about obedience. One step of obedience is exactly what the Lord needs. Whether that's a mission trip, whether that's serving at VBS, whether it's volunteering at a church, whatever it might be, those are steps of obedience that could lead you to new people. You talking to a stranger and just asking, how's your day, could start a gospel conversation. I've had those happen. I literally sat down and said, hey, how are you? And they're like, oh, I'm having a terrible day. And I'm like, cool, why? But because of that, I'm able to learn more about them. I'm able to hear what is going wrong with them. And that is when God is like, okay, push the gospel out there. And yes, that's scary to be like, oh, I'm just going to start this random conversation and just start sharing the gospel. That is terrifying. Don't get me wrong. It's very terrifying. But think about what good can come from that once you've done it. Don't let fear hold you in shackles. And that is exactly what David showed us, that we're not afraid to follow what the Lord has for us. Once again, going back to the fact that I'm going into ministry. I wrestled with that for the longest. From April until now, I was jobless. I'm going to be real honest. I was looking at the world like, dang, I'm about to graduate college after 4 years, be jobless, have to tell my parents, yeah, I don't have a job, or yeah, I'm going into ministry. That was a great conversation. But there were times where I was like, what are you doing with my life, Lord? What am I about to do after this? Because we think about college as like this 4 years of everything's going to be figured out. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to have this person to go talk to. I'm going to be married. Newsflash, I did not get married. 90% of our ministry was married. That's okay. That's fine. But I had nothing. But I have faith that the Lord will provide something. And here I am today with a job, with a place to live, doing what I love, which is being with college students and sharing the gospel. David had that same faith when he said, let me go fight. I don't think we realize how big of a deal it is for David, a youth, as they keep saying over and over again, but he's a youth. He's a youth. David had more faith and boldness than some of the adults, than some of the elders. That should speak volumes to us because obviously God worked in his life, right? Why can he not work in ours? It's because we have that little speck of fear that holds us back. So, remove fear, remove doubt, because the Lord has delivered you from so many different things that we don't even think about. Where were you 5 years ago as compared to now? Did he deliver you from something? Did those bills get paid? Did your kids get taken care of? It's not because of the things that you did, it's because of the things that the Lord had done and had prepared for you. So, always remember that it's okay to be afraid, but the more that we let that fear shackle us and stop us, that's when we lose the battle. That's when we don't listen to what God has for us and what we can do in the future. And so as we, I guess, get close to closing this out, the last verse I really wanted to highlight was verse 47, where it says, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And so that point there, the Lord fights for us constantly, is what I wanted to highlight. You see, that was the end of, I guess to speak, the David and Goliath series, where David is saying, the Lord has been fighting this battle way before I even said I wanted to fight. Or the Lord has been fighting this battle before I decided to even come out here. It was already won. That's what we have to look at life about. The battle's won. We just have to do the action steps that lead up to it that shows our faithfulness and our obedience. The Lord has won every battle that we can think of, no matter what happens in the next 2 minutes, the next hour, the next few years. He's won it all. It's done. We just have to live in it and have faith in that. That's our invitation. That's our moment of, how can I be a part of that? Because as a believer, just listen to God's word. Listen to what he has for you. Take your daily life. Figure out ways that you can listen to what the Lord has for you. Talk to that person that you don't want to talk to. You never know where that can lead them. Go on that mission trip. Serve at VBS. The Lord has plenty of things in store if you just listen to him and you take the time to read the word. There's so much content in this, and it has every solution to every life situation. Yes, the world has gotten crazier, but in reality, it's just the Lord testing to see if we can actually listen to him and pay attention to the signs that he has for us. It's all here. It's all in the Bible. It was written before we were born, thought of. I know we always have the saying, it was here before I was even thought of. It's been there. All these scenarios that happen, all these debates, all these incidents, riots, whatever it may be, the Lord said, okay, I'm just going to put a little manual right here. This is a how-to guide to survive life. We just have to read that how-to guide instead of saying, like, oh, I'm just going to go rogue and I'm just going to go the other way, because it's all right there. From Genesis to Revelation, there it is. How generous is God to have something in your life that is so easy to read, a little bit easy to understand sometimes. Sometimes you got to discern it with a, you know, commentary or something here and there. But it's all there. It's all easy for us. And then finally, for the unbeliever, you have to have that person to fight for you like David did. Have that person that's on your back, ready to go, ready to help you out, ready to help you discern that call, because you're fighting blind right now. You're on your own. You don't know what's going on. You don't know how to discern these situations. But you have somebody in heaven who has constantly fought for you and is rooting for you and knows your name and knows how many hairs you have in your head, because he loves you that much. So fall into that, lean into that, trust in him and the things he has for you. So I'm going to invite the band back up. I know that was a little quick, but no sermon has to be an hour for you to get the gist and the understanding of what the Lord is trying to say. Plus, y'all did it in Sunday school, so I'm kind of just like piggybacking, you know. But I'm truly thankful to have been here to speak with you guys, and I hope that throughout this sermon and throughout this passage, you're able to see that no matter who you are, no matter your circumstances, the Lord is going to use you. You just have to be willing and able and put your yes on the table. If that yes isn't there, of course you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to help because you haven't given God the runway